Like, you guys are like quiet. This isn't like the hall at college where if you talk, they're going to get you out. Anyways, it is beginning of summer, and we do have families that are hitting the vacation mode and that kind of thing, and vacation is good. How many like to take a good vacation? I like a good vacation, and that's always fun. And how many always eat well on vacation? You never eat anything fat. You just, none of us do that, right? We're on vacation. If you're ever going to indulge, it seems like vacation is the time to do it. Well, let's welcome our online crowd. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for joining us. I start a series today that I think is going to be beneficial. It's beneficial. It helps me, and I know it'll help you. And the series is called Walk It Out. And so many times in our faith, we just have to walk things out. We want to see the results, but we need to put our hand to it. We need to walk it out. We need to walk in obedience to what the Lord is telling us. So I don't know about you, but I like to win. I mean, I'm not, I've lost at things. If you've played any sports, got to be a good sport, that kind of thing. But you learn and you figure out, okay, how do I do that? What do I need to work on more? But on this road of life, we need to know how to win. And, so I'm going to say some things that some of it is probably like, but sometimes we need to hear it. I know I need to hear it. How many know you deserve what you tolerate? If you're going to put up with it, you're going to live with it. They don't change or things won't change if you put up with them. And so, we have to understand that we are the variable in so many of these things that we could have success if we had apply ourselves, if we would put ourselves where the Lord wants us to put. Now, here's something that I put in here. A holy dissatisfaction is one of the greatest things in your life. You know what a holy dissatisfaction is? A holy dissatisfaction is you want to live a better life for God, and because you're not satisfied with either what you see or the way things are or whatever, and it's you're fed up. You ever been fed up? You ever had just enough? We've got four children. I remember when my wife would say to them, I've just about had enough. My mom would tell me that. I've just about had enough. And I would get in trouble and say, Mama, there's plenty more. But she'd be like, she didn't want to hear that. But, when Kim would say she's just about had enough, the kids would be like, okay, because nobody wants Mom to have enough. Because once she has enough, your party is over. But that's what a holy dissatisfaction is. God, I'm not seeing what I want to see, or I'm not seeing this. Is there something that I'm not doing or could be doing? We've been talking about this for weeks, but so now we're looking at a series of just, how do I walk this thing out? In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, 6 and 11, if you look at this, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up early, let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and one day 23,000 fell, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, were destroyed by serpents or complain. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So this is Old Testament. I mean, it says all these things have happened in the Old Testament. That's what they're recording, what had happened in the Old Testament, for our benefit as an example, so that we wouldn't do some of those same stupid things. Have you ever told your kids, I've already tried that, it doesn't work, don't do what I... And you ever hear your kids, I have to find out for myself. Sometimes you're like, don't do that. So, I understand we're in Corinthians, but the Old Testament, they're giving record of what happened back in the day. We don't need to make some of the same mistakes. One of the major problems in the body of Christ is we just don't know the Word of God. We come to church and we think somehow just coming to church saves us, and coming to church is wonderful. It says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together because we need each other, but that's not what saves you. You are the church. This is a building. But we need to know what the Word of God says. everything that we ever come up against, everything that we ever deal with, turn to your neighbor and say everything. It's in the Bible. Your answer is in the Bible. There's a story of a man, he held a revival. The first night the wind blew the tent over. So the next night they put the tent back up and the man declared there's an answer for everything in the Bible. So he asked God and God took him to Isaiah 54. It said, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. We don't understand what the word says, or we don't even want to take time because we live in an age or a time when everything is done for us. I have on my, I don't have my keys on me right now. They're in my office. I have a remote starter for my 4Runner. I've never had a remote starter. That is just amazes me because I was out there just going, and it starts without me even being in there. I'm like, how do they do that? But it's kind of cool. I've only used it like 3 times besides when I'm playing with it. But, you know. But we live in the society of I want everything to be done for me. We don't know the word, and so what happens is we fall for the same mistakes, sometimes the same ones we've done before ourselves. Kim and I have done that before. We've made mistakes, and we said, we're not going to do that again, and then you kind of get rocked to sleep by the world, you know, and you just kind of forget where that line was, the standard, we're not going to do that again, and the next thing you know, you're like, we did it again. Now, I've been in ministry for 30 years now, and I've learned at different times sometimes what not to do more than what to do. Make sense? I mean, just learning like, okay, I definitely don't want to do that. If you want to find out some things not to do, watch AFE for a little while. You'll be like, don't do some of those things. Because you're kind of like, why are they even doing that? But anyway, learn what not to do. I've learned from others' mistakes. And so hopefully me being transparent when I'm up here speaking to you, you'll be like, oh, pastor's done that before. That didn't work out so good. You don't have to do that then. And you'll find out, hey, then you don't have to go through some of the, because I honestly, we've put ourselves through a lot of stuff we didn't have to go through. But we did it ourselves. Now, there are times that I haven't always applied the truth. And I have been my own trouble too. Because I just, you know, we didn't seek the Lord or we didn't apply. We didn't ask. Can I get an amen? So I'm not, I am preaching at you, but I'm preaching at me as well, okay? So this is, you know, you're Brett, what are you talking about? I want us to talk about the children of Israel here. And they came out of the land of Egypt. And you might be saying, what's that got to do with the price of bacon or with us? Because I'm a guy, bacon is always important. No. It has everything to do with us. We go through so many of the same things that the Israelites did, and we just don't tie it together. So before the series is over, we'll kind of tie some of this stuff together. But in Deuteronomy 2, this entire book is written by Moses. And he's recapping everything that happened with the people of Israel. He's going through everything that they've went through for the last 40 years in the wilderness. And the Bible doesn't say this exactly, but it's pretty much, it was written by Moses in one day or less than a week. He's just recapping everything. He's just giving, here's what happened, here's what we've been doing, here's what they did, he's giving an account of the entire nation. He's giving them warnings, he's telling them what they should do, he writes a song, teaches them the song. Have you ever heard of hindsight? Have you ever, like, you couldn't see God in the middle of some stuff, and then you go through it, and then you can kind of see, well, kind of like that old poem, you know, there's two sets of footprints, and there's one, and this is where I carried you, you know, before you're like, God, where are you? And he was there the whole time. So sometimes hindsight, you know, so Moses is pulling all this, and he's sharing with, this is what happened. He's telling children of Israel, here's what I want you to do. When I die, I want you to go and possess the land. That's what he's talking to him about. Deuteronomy 2:24, he says, rise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. Now, out of just that scripture, we're going to pull 7 things out. I'm going to show you what they are. We're going to go over one of them today. We're going to, out of that scripture, we're going to rise up. We're going to take our journey. We're going to cross over the river. We're going to look dealing with our imagination, have given you. God's going to show you some stuff. You've already got it. He's already given it to you. Begin to possess it, and you're going to have to fight for it. We're going to get all of those things out of that scripture. So our first one today is just rise up. Now, he's talking to the group that's been on the journey, but not from the start. And this is important for us. And so when I'm reading this, I'm like, I never really thought of it this way. So hopefully you'll be like, wow. So let me explain. Almost 40 years have passed. So all of the fighting guys, all those guys, they're gone. They're gone. So unless they're old women and children, the kids under the age of 20, when the spies came back with the evil report to take the promised land. My point is, the people he's talking to now, the only thing they know is the wilderness. They weren't there in Egypt. You get me? All they know is what they've experienced in the wilderness. They don't know what it was like before then. They've heard the stories, maybe from, you know, their parents or whatever, but they have just lived during this time. They were born in the wilderness. They know what survival means. They had eaten manna. So here's my point. We all have different upbringings. And most of us will take the way we were raised as normal. That's our normal. Some people are like, you know, I was raised with my parents and they always stayed together. That was your normal. They were good parents. Some people like, my dad left. I don't know. My mom raised me. Some were maybe adopted. I mean, there's all these different kinds of things. And so their normal's different than your normal. Because they didn't have, you know, you heard my stories. I mean, I remember Bobby Fields. So Bobby, if you're ever watching, if you're still alive, okay? Bobby came to school every day with Hostess fruit snacks, Hostess cream pies, fruit pies, King Dongs, Ho-Hos. I thought Bobby was the richest kid around. I came to school with crackers, saltines, with mustard on them. Who does that? My mother. Mom, I don't want mustard crackers. They're good. In her world, they're good. In my world, mm-mm. And that's just some of the wonderful things she sent me in my lunch. But what I'm saying is, what my normal was, I mean, it became like, let's see what Gleesman's got today. I was just entertainment for half the dudes that sat at my table. What kind of sandwich is that? I don't know. You tell me. I pulled this stuff out of Saran wrap one time. They said, what is that? And one guy goes, is that celery? I'm not sure to this day what it was. It kind of looked like celery, but I don't know. So anyway, in our minds, our normal is, that's just the way it is. That's how it is. I mean, you know, some people had amazing Christmases. I mean, Kim's told me stuff where Charles and Charlotte, they held nothing back. She got there's a picture of a little carousel horse thing they had where her and Jody just sat on, I mean, they're just like, and her mom and dad always provided for them. When I went and met Kim, went to their house. Here, get a Pepsi out of the fridge. There was stacks of Pepsi in there. When you bought it in the 16-ounce bottles, and you'd pop it, and they were glass, and that little steam would come up, you'd be like, Jesus. In my house, we had Kool-Aid. And that was only during The Wizard of Oz or Charlie Brown or something. And then we had to share it if we ever got pop. Or we did get Faygo every once. Do they still make Faygo? You could get all kinds of chocolate cream Faygo. I might be like, is there something wrong with the flavor of this? But anyways. But so that was normal in her house. There are people that, because their house is different than yours, their normal's not yours, and they think everything's fine, and you're like, this is not normal. Have you seen the commercial, this has been some time ago, where there's a couple out, and they're camping, and it's so quiet, all you can hear is crickets, and they can't sleep, and they pull out their cell phone, and they turn on traffic, like from New York, and they're like, yeah, and they go to sleep because that was their normal. That's what they're used to. They're used to hearing those noises. There's some people here today, maybe your normal has just been pain and regret. It's been a rough life. And you don't know peace. You don't know happiness. There's some watching online. Maybe you've never had it. And now you're just coming into the kingdom of God and you're like, I just want something better than what I've had. If I tell people we need to walk in love, there's some people who'll be like, what's that? Because their normal of love isn't what your normal of love is, because they don't know it. Even a biblical normal is not normal because they don't know the word. And so we, walking this thing out, wouldn't it be good? That's why I'm trying to lay some foundation of just, if we would walk with what the word says, we could get a good normal where we just expect. See, we get so, oh my gosh, it's a miracle. You know, that's normal for God, what we call miracle. But our minds are just like, well, God will, he. Because we think we have to do all this begging, we have to do all this pleading. And God says, that's not normal. I've already given it to you. So we have to start walking in what we know. So we need to know the word. Most of us have grown up in the wilderness, and we don't know what we're missing. I mean, it's our wilderness, you know, and I mean, we don't, this is our world, this is our truth. We were pastoring a church in Pickerington and had a lady that was on the praise team, sweet, wonderful lady. And it was no secret of how I feel about PK, and every house we've ever lived in, I've always slept on the side wherever she puts the bed. I don't tell her where to put the bed. She knows where, she's got an incredible anointing for decorating. But, you know, so I would always sleep on the side closest to the door. And this young lady, she said, why would you do? And I said, because if anybody would ever break into my house, which that's never happened, thank the Lord, but they would have to come through me before they would ever get to her. And she turned to her husband. She said, Dave, why don't you be more like that? And he said to her, honey, if they took you, they'd have you back by morning. So I get it, but you know, but part of my mind was that's just normal. That's how I have to, you know, and so she knows that. But think about these Israelites. They had a cloud that shadowed them during the day that protected them from the sun, making them like toast. And at night, there's a pillar of fire so they wouldn't freeze to death. They had warmth. And that was every day. Could you imagine living in the wilderness and seeing the cloud and the pillar of fire, and it would just became normal? That was part of your day. They would walk outside and pick up their food. They would just pick it off the ground. Manna every day. They really didn't have to do anything. So Moses is talking to this group that basically everything was provided for them. We'll keep you warm. We'll keep you cool. We'll give you food. They never planted. Now think about it. They've never planted crops. Didn't have to. They didn't do anything. They just picked up their food. This is pretty much the original drive-through started here, but it's really a walk-through. He gave them some instructions. Here's how many days you pick it up on this day. Don't pick up. Pick up double on this day. You know, whatever. But, I mean, they just had to walk out. You know, I would be like, if I was in Bobby Fields' world, just walk out. Just go pick up a King Dong. There you go. Here's a fruit pie. Oh, there. Entitlement, I'm sure, was happening. Probably much like we see today. There, you know, I don't know how much prep cooking they did. I don't know how many different ways you can make manna. I don't know, but it was just pick it up and eat. They couldn't keep it because it spoiled. Joshua 5, 11 and 12, and they ate the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. So there came an end to this just going out and picking everything up. Now they're learning that we've got to put our hand to this. We've got to start working for our food. I think there's some people in that group that are probably not happy. What is this? I am not going outside and working. I am not. I've never done that. I'm not doing that now. I'm sure there's attitudes. But there are people that don't really know what they're missing. They never had it before. God's telling Moses, you got to get this bunch motivated. I'm not going to keep doing it. They have to start doing some things. And I'm sure there's some resistance. You ever tell your children, you have to start cleaning up your room? But I don't want to. Okay? But you're going to, or I'm going to charge you because we'll clean it up and I'll give you a bill. Okay, I'll clean up my room. You got to motivate sometimes and say, okay, look, here's what we're doing. Here's what it means to put your hand to it. So before things change for you, you have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. If you've been in the wilderness and you want to get out, you want to walk out, then you have to be fed up. God, then help me to do something that's different. I'm just telling you, I'm not telling you anything I haven't walked out. When we were in ministry, we started ministry, we made nothing to speak of. And we were raising children and trying to figure this out, and then the government provides health care. I'm not against. Listen to me. I'm not against. There's times I think you need some of those things. But they're not geared for you to live on them. Get yourself, pick it up, rise up, and get past that. Use what is there to help get you on your feet and then move on. But we took our kids into places and everybody in there, man, I mean, green snot just flying everywhere. And I didn't want to be in there, not because I'm afraid of green snot, but I knew that God had something more. And we didn't have any idea of how he was going to do it. But I was just talking to Steve. Steve, where are you? In here somewhere? Steve just said he visited the ER, and after 5 or 6 hours, he said, I'm going home. Because sometimes you're just like, we went into this doctor visit to take our kids in there for their well checkup, and we were in there for the longest time, and every minute I was just like, I don't want to be here. This is not what God has for us. And I turned around to Kim, and this is a true story. I said, we're leaving. And she said, what? I said, we're leaving. She goes, I agree. And I said, we are not bringing our kids back here. I said, the Lord will provide. We will. Well, I don't know what's going on, but we're done. And she just said, and that's what I love, she just said, okay, I agree. We grabbed our kids. We walked up to the lady. I said, ma'am, you can just scratch your name off the list. We're leaving. We don't need this anymore. And that lady was mad. She told me I was nuts and whatever. I'm like, I ain't staying here. That'd be nuts. And out we went. And from that day forward, God provided. What are you trying to tell me? I'm telling you, I was fed up. And something inside me was just saying, get your family and get them where I want them. And so I did. But you know what? If I wouldn't have done it, we'd have still been in there. We'd have still felt like we were kind of landlocked. And it just like piles keeps coming on you. When will we get sick and tired of being sick and tired? Because what happens is we just adjust to wilderness living, don't we? We just survive. This is how we survive. This is what we do. And we get so used to it, we just do it all the time or we fall back on it. Here's the lesson. You deserve what you tolerate. As long as you can stand it, it'll stay. A holy dissatisfaction is one of the greatest things you can have in your life. You know, a mother bird will pick out the stuffing out of a nest, especially like an eagle. because it's all thorny and whatever, so that the babies have to fly because they can't stay in that because it's just too uncomfortable. So many of us live just adjusted lives. It's just how it is. There's people that's all they know is welfare. And I'm not against it, but I don't think it's God's will best for you. I think it's to get you on your feet, and then you need to be trusting the Lord. Where do we start hungering for the things of God? Where do we start getting inside and saying, you know what, God, I just need you. You're my answer. The government isn't your answer. Many of us have grown up in the wilderness where we've never seen anything. We've never seen a miracle. We've never seen the sick healed. We've never, you know, we just don't see it. We hear about it. Can I tell you this morning that if you stay with God and you get a holy dissatisfaction with the world and get hungry for God, you will see it. You will see it. Because He'll use you to do it. Many of us here have aches and pains and ailments, hereditary garbage, seasonal ailments. And some of us have just embraced them. I've went to people and they're like, don't pray for me because I'm on disability. Oh, so sorry. They call things like this. People come up, I want you, and please listen to what I'm saying. I need you to pray for my allergies. Quit calling them yours. Life is in your mouth. Do you want them? Do you want them to be yours? Pray, it's not that important. It is too. We just live with stuff. It's just normal. When I turned 40, I remember the party they had for me. I just went to John Schmidt's party. He's 50. And he had black balloons too. You know, people give you black balloons. You get 40 or 50, and then they give you a, here's a package of Depends, just in case you need it. Well, that really depends, doesn't it? But that's not God's will, that we would just accept everything that the world offers and just say, well, that's just part of life. Deuteronomy 34:7 says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And he lived under an inferior covenant, ladies and gentlemen. He's Old Testament. We have a new covenant with Jesus that is far greater than the old. I speak to my eyes. I declare I have 20/20 vision. And I mean, just, I started putting my hand to this, and we went to a restaurant the other day, which sometimes Kim and I have to share glasses. And so before you go, Brett, you wear glasses time to time. I'm not throwing stones because I'd have to hit myself. So just so you know, she said, here, you can use my glasses. I told her, I don't want them. Don't need them. She goes, this is what she said. I love it because she has that little cute wrinkle in her. Not that you need to know that, but she goes, oh. And I read the menu without the glasses. Now, a couple times I thought I was playing trombone a little bit, but I was still like, hey, I know what's going on. Because before, same restaurant, same menu. Na 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 Batman. I wasn't seeing it without her glasses. I speak to my hair. Are you kidding me? I am not. I've had my barber tell me on different occasions, you're getting new hair. And I'm like, I speak to it. I tell it, it's going to be thick and I'm getting more. Now, I don't count them. God does that. But, you know, I mean, I'm just talking little things. And you're like, does it really work? I've told you the story where I got a sofa dropped on my toe, busted my toenail, and for years it was just nasty looking. And I'd wear flip-flops. Back in the day we called them thongs. You gotta be careful about that now. Found that out. I was doing youth. You'll love this, Caitlin. I was doing youth, and there's all these, you know, all the kids were there, and all of them had flip-flops on. But back when I was a kid, we called them thongs. I said, we should just have a thong party. And Mallory goes, Dad. I'm like, what'd I say? See, you gotta know the lingo. I didn't know the lingo, but anyway, so I love that. Anyway, my toe looked nasty. I mean, it just looked nasty, and the nail wouldn't grow. It broke off, and you know, being a dude, I'd just peel it off. It'd bleed, and it's nasty. And so we'd be out in the summertime, and we'd be going somewhere, and Kim and she come up and goes, "Hi, honey, you should put on your shoes." "But I just want to wear these flip-flops." "You should put on your shoes." "Because why?" "Because people come up, 'Hi, how you do?'" Ooh. That's nasty. So I start, now, I'm telling you a true story, so I start speaking to my toe. See, I'm entertainment, God. I don't know. But I was speaking to my toe. I was just, and you know what I was doing? I was speaking to the mountain. "Father, listen to me. And this is what I said to the huddle today. It's easier to release something that you already have than to get something that you think you don't have. I've already have enough faith. He gave it to me. So I don't have to beg him for something I already have." So I started speaking to the nail, specific to my toenail, my big toe, right foot. "Father, I thank you." Why am I saying thank you? Because I'm already believing it's done. That my nail, you are replacing my nail. Thank you for replacing my nail. Thank you that my new nail is growing in. Do you know I have a new nail on this toe now? It grew back. And it didn't do it until I started speaking. I didn't time it how long. But probably a few months. So, I mean, I've been doing that on other things. And I'm seeing results. Why? Because we're learning how to walk it out. Second Corinthians 3 talks about Moses, how he had the glory of God. Remember, he went to see God, and he just shone. His face was like, "Ooh," you know. Well, it's talking there that there was a veil, and now we, because we are in the new covenant, we have a better covenant. Jesus lives inside you, so that glory, we are changed from the Old Testament glory, which was inferior, to the New Testament glory, which is better than Moses ever had. And the Bible says he takes us from glory to glory. Now, my Uncle Tom, he's back there. My Uncle Tom, how old are you now, Tom? 42, good. Now, Tom has ran marathons. 26.2 miles. That's hard for me to even fathom. And I ran with him a lot, you know, just, and he, I guess I was kind of his training partner for a couple of, he's getting ready for a marathon. I didn't run any more than 3 miles, maybe, if we ran, or a four. I think we ran a four. Well, we ran a seven one time in Michigan. But I hated that. I mean, I literally hated that. But he is just like this, you know, he just doesn't stop. He's like this locomotive that never runs out of battery. I mean, he could just run and run and run. But here's my point. Respect for the man that he's probably ran. You've ran more than one, haven't you? Three. See, look at that. Crazy. And I mean, but he can do it. We all have the potential of running a marathon. Some of you are like, "Oh, no, we don't." But you know why? We don't, because you have to train for it. I mean, you know, I remember talking to him when we're running, when I'm trying to suck wind and catch my breath, and said, how many miles did he, I think, if I remember correctly, he told me, he said, like, the most that he's going to train for and run up to is around 17 miles or something like that. I'm sorry? 20. Okay. And the race is 26.2. And I remember asking him, like, why don't you run 26.2? And he said, because if you're going to run 20, you'll finish it. Because your mindset is already there. My point is, he trained for it. We have the potential to do a lot of things, but if we don't put our hand to it, if we don't train for it, see, we live in this society of the wilderness where everything just happens. Just give it to me. Just give it to me. If you got to wait in line for more than 2 minutes at the drive-thru, somebody. Off with their heads. See, people now are probably like, I don't want to feel condemned or judged because I won't run a marathon. I'm not talking about just running. I'm just talking about the principle of putting your hand to training for something. The discipline and where you keep doing something. What's that called? It starts with a C. Well, conditioning, but whatever. You know what I'm saying. You're not giving up. You're determined. That's a D, but okay. That'll work. You're determined. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. You know, there's people who have asked. I asked one guy one time. He goes, "I just want to be over 300 pounds and be a couch potato. What a goal!" I mean, that's what you want to be. I guess be the best couch potato you can. And they don't want to do any form of exercise. But we all have choices in this life. We all have choices. You know, and things have happened in my life that I'm not happy about. Things have happened, you know, and I got myself way out of shape, lost a whole lot of weight. Then they told me to take it easy after the heart attack. And so then I put some weight back on. Now I'm in the process of taking weight off. And then I wish I would have did something a little better so I wouldn't have to take off weight. I've already lost 100 times. Because we have choices. I don't have anybody to look in the mirror to say, how'd you get this way? Nobody force-fed me. I think I did it pretty well voluntarily. But it's a mindset. I have to put in the effort. Tom had to make up his mind. Here's when the marathon is. Here's how many weeks. I have to train. I remember him showing me his thing to say, I've got to be running this many miles by this week. It took discipline. There's the other word, but it didn't start with a C. But he had to, you know, he logged that. He kept himself accountable. And there have been times, and I remember he was like, hey, do you want to run today? And I was like, no. He would still run. And people that are running marathons in training, if it was raining, he'd still run. Why? Because he was determined to, he put his mind on something, and he said, I'm going to carry this through. I only can imagine what he felt when he crossed the finish line. I did it. You all know what that's like when you put your mind to something and you succeed. Now, he's not saying he had to win. His win was doing it. That's his win. See, that was his, listen to me, that was his normal. He's competing against him. There could have been, I don't know how many people in the race, but he's not looking at them. He's looking at, Lord, what do you want me for me? What has your wilderness been like? What is your normal? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you willing to do what it takes? Exercise, whatever it is, eat right. Not just once, but consistency. There's the C. I'll get there. To do it over and over again, the right thing over and over again. And I've been there. Have done those diets. I'm trying, I just can't lose weight. How long have you been on this diet? It's been a whole day. But I bought the right food. Do you like it? Stinks. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to get you to see something that maybe all of us, me included, need to raise our standard a little bit. It's time the Church of Christ starts to rise up a little bit. There's enough garbage going on in the world. What if the body of Christ would know the Word of God? What if we would attack the enemy instead of him attacking us? Raise our standard. Take a step. You know, get sick and tired of being sick and tired. If you start feeling sick, man, like ugly on an ape, be on that. Get the Word of God and say, oh, you should have not messed with me. Most of us shoot at nothing and hit it every time. If you have a vision and you don't need God, it's just your vision. But if your vision needs God, because it can't happen without God, your vision becomes provision, because you're going to need funds to take care of the vision. So it's got to include God. So that's why you need the provision of God in all the things that you do. You need to be able to see yourself. What's it look like to be completely well? I just can't see myself that way. But if you could get yourself to see yourself, what you're believing, the supernatural and the natural come together and you'll get the result. Because that's what happens, folks. It's in the supernatural that you're pulling from. It's pulling it in to you. That's what your faith is. You know what? When you are fully persuaded, it just means you believe God with everything in you. We have a world full of people that can do a lot of great things. And many of them, they don't put God in it at all. But if it's God and he's telling you, it's beyond what you could do. You know, I'm telling you, this is where I feel pushed at. And we're going to be doing something here at this church, at this building. We're going to be doing something because that's what he's telling me. We've got to do something. And we're going to bring it to you guys and say, here's what he wants. He doesn't really always call me. I don't know if he does you, but I don't think so. Does he always call you to do something comfortable? You know, you don't get growth and comfort. You just don't. You have to be stretched. You have to strengthen and lengthen those cords. So many people, you know, when we're designing church, we especially look at where check-in is for kids and stuff, and people go, what's the big deal? Because most people will take the least path of resistance. If you got to walk through 17 hallways and up two stairs and whatever, they're not coming because they won't do that. They just won't. You'd love to say, oh, sure they would. They won't. So we have to get them, if we can get them to hear the word of God and that word, you know, the word is a transforming thing. It gets in you and it doesn't go void and it changes you. I've given a couple people Pastor Gary's Faith Hunt book. Well, several people actually, but and they've come back to me and said, that book is messing me up. I'm like, I know. That's why I gave it to you. Because outside of the Bible, that's been the most incredible book I've ever read because it's changed my life. If you're made by God, then he has a plan for you that's bigger than you could ever imagine. But see, the problem is we've lived in the wilderness. And we just are so used to our five senses. It's always like this. I mean, I could get up here and sing the blues. Oh, so-and-so's not here. So-and-so's not here. Why are these things empty? Why this? You know what? It's not going to do me any good. I have to look past that. And I have to say, God, what are you saying? Because this has got to be bigger than me. Because if I just wanted to get people to fill the seats, I could just offer free chicken. We'd get this place filled. But it's got to be bigger. It's got to be life-changing. See, what happens is we look around and we go, okay, and we see everybody else, and they're pretty much doing the same thing, and they're miserable too, so it's par for the course. So if they're miserable, I guess, you know, we'll just join that. We got a lot of people that are just like, we'll just take it as, I don't care about status quo, it's just part of life. I get it. Well, what if you just got fed up? What if you just said, God, is there more than this? Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. Would you be accountable enough to say you might be wrong? Is God not thinking bigger than you? Is God not bigger than that? Is his arm not longer than that? Is his arm waxed short? How long would it take us to believe God for his word? We just adjust. Okay. I think we all need a holy dissatisfaction. God, I don't want to be satisfied with this, Lord. Is this what you want? Is there more? If there's more, and that's where Kim and I are at. We're like, God, there's got to be more. And you know what he's telling me? It's not a secret. Brett, there's much more. We haven't even scratched the surface of more. You know, they say some people go through midlife crisis at 40 and 50. I don't know. I guess some that happens too. I just remember when I was 20, 24, 23, man, I felt like a Superman. I could run fast. I was strong. Had the prettiest girl by my side. Didn't worry about anything. Just kind of just took life for granted. I'm 63. If I could go back and change some things, I would. But I can't. I got to go forward. But God can make up for my ignorance or whatever. See, what happens with people at 40 and 50, they think, I'm halfway through this thing called life. And I don't have anything to show for it. Now, I have things to show for it. I have fruit from what God has blessed me with and all that. I'm very, very pleased, very thankful. But, I mean, would I have done some more things? I sure would have. How many wish you would have saved $10 a week just when you had your job at Ponderosa or wherever you worked? Just $10. Just stick it somewhere. Oh, my word. I remember Charles telling me that. What you need to do now, save $10. Hey, tell the kid. As we tell his, he'd call Kim, that's my oldest pup. Said, we just saved $10. I'm like, boy, I wish I would have. So, you know, you just have to start thinking, Lord, okay, out of the box, what do you want me to do? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we only get one chance through this. This isn't dress rehearsal. We got one life on this earth until we're with Jesus. We all get to live forever. But let's make this one count. Let's rise up. Most of us have this mindset. I owe, it's off to work.
I owe, it's off to work I go.
We feel like we're just living on the hamster wheel. That hamster runs and runs and runs and gets off. He's in the same spot. Remember this, TGIF? Thank God it's Friday. Because I remember going to work because everybody was doing, thank God it's Friday. They even had sitcoms, TGIF. Because we're all so thankful. Oh, I can't wait till Friday. If you were the party person, Friday! Friday and Saturday. And Sunday if you didn't go to church. And then you had to go back to work on Monday. Time to fix the donuts. And you'd live for another 4 or 5 days till Friday again. But this is for real. So much of us have wasted stuff because we just weren't focused on what the Lord wants. Just about finished here. You know, stats say when you retire, if you don't have a plan or you're not busy, you get declined in your health and all of that. What I'm thankful for is my brother-in-law worked hard all his life. He's sitting back in the back. He retired and he just absolutely loves it. And he stays busy all the time. And to make sure, he just got a new puppy. And so he's busy with that. He's so funny because we're at John's birthday party and he said, having a puppy? He said, it's like having a toddler on crack. Now, you just probably know. Don't know how he knows that, not real sure. But basically, he's just saying, you know, the puppy's full of energy and all that stuff. But, you know, he has a plan. He's doing things. He's working. He's doing things that he hasn't been able to do because he didn't have the time before. Now he's got the time. He feels purpose. You need a plan. You need a provision from God. You need, God, show me what you want me to do. And you're like, Brett, I'm not going to retire yet. You know, I don't even know if there is really a retire in the Lord. I think God always wants you to do something, win people for the kingdom and walk in the kingdom way, in the kingdom life where people are like, how did that happen? And you can say, this is how it happened. Because signs point to something bigger than you. And we just point to Jesus. I just found Jesus to be true. This is what he said to do. This is what I did. This is what showed up. You need to stir yourself up, people. You need to get hungry for God before you want to, you know, Brad, I want to see all the supernatural. Then go after God. Rise up. Change some things that you're doing. Make a difference. Get up in the morning and say, well, I'm not a morning person. Okay, well, what kind of a person are you? When's the best time for you to spend time with God? Then do that then. Maybe you work third trick, and so morning's not your deal. Okay, find a time. Well, I got to spend some time with God, because nothing can replace your time with the Lord. The Word, and knowing the Word, and being able to say the Word and believe the Word, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, being able to release that what you already have, and see the supernatural come. That's what the world needs. They're looking for answers, and you have them. We got a lot of people that want to be water walkers. They want to get out of the boat, but most don't. There's too many things going on that look too scary. I'm going to tell you a story, and we'll close this thing up. You know, I found out stuff just growing up. A couple sports I was really good at, football and karate. Loved both of those. In football, the coach was really tough. You ever have a coach that's just tough? I mean, he just... You wanna cuss him, but you were the champions, and because he was so tough, that's probably why you were the champions. That was my coach. And I remember if we did anything that he didn't like, we ran. You know, anybody watch Remember the Titans? Okay? Denzel Washington, that movie. That's a good movie. I like it. That was like my coach. If we did anything wrong, we ran. And I did a lot of things wrong. And the whole team would run because I messed up. So he got us all. And I mean, so running around the track, if you made them run, they are not happy with you. Come on, Gleese, come on. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry. You know, and I remember we ran so much. And it wasn't just me that's making them run. I couldn't, I was hyperventilating. And I was like, Coach, I can't run anymore. And this is back in the day, didn't have a car, wasn't old enough to drive. Thought I was, but I wasn't. You wouldn't have wanted me behind the wheel. I was probably only 12. But anyway, my bike was just laying on the ground over there. He said, well, get on your bike and go home. I don't need you. And I remember looking at him. I'm going, Coach, I just need to rest. He said, you need to run. If you can't run and you don't want to run, go home. And I remember saying to him, I'll run. And I ran around and I made it. You're saying, okay, what's the deal? He saw more in me than I saw in me. And he's going to push that button to get it out. You might be like me, and you'd be like, I can't run. Now, my point was, I learned from that. And the next time somebody did something, and he was like, a lap. And you better, and this is his wonderful line, you better not be the last one in. I took off before anybody else, because all everybody else is going, oh, man. I'm like, phew. I figured if I puttered out before I got around, at least I'd have a head start. But I'd make it around, and I'm telling you, it changed my mindset. Because I'd come in first and second. I'd still have some string beans that beat me. They're just little skinny kids that, you know, there's no wind resistance on them at all. But I'd come in, and he'd be like, okay. And I'd be like, come on, guys. Come on, let's go. Guess what? I got nominated team captain. Why? Because I had a mind shift. I look back now and think, I never even thought that. He was pulling things out of me that I didn't even know were in there. And I was just a boy. Some of us were adults, but inside, we're not adult Christians because we just adjust. Wilderness living. But this morning, you need to rise up. God has something better than just wilderness living. Take charge of those mountains. Receive what he's already given you. And you'll be amazed at the outcome. And it's not going to take forever to happen. You'll start seeing things. And your mind will shift. Does the Bible talk about the renewing of your mind? Yes. renew it to God. Rise up and let's get out of the wilderness. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?